there floating on your own, hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Get to people. Who you gonna turn to next?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Get to people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
people.
Show some love for yourself, people.
Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need. You really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness you can never get used to. Get to people. What are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't.
Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen, people. You better take a look at yourself, yeah.
Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
at. Living like you're living,
living like you're living.
Caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dreams.
Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Talking to my people, yeah.
Take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to feel what you need when what you really want inside can only come from
with your life.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease.
Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah.
Ghetto people. Ghetto people.
Motherland Media is on the air.
This call
you
is
are
being
listening
recorded.
To African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. African Perspectives, where we talk about the issues of our day from an African worldview, an African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak. Having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters and friends, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they call themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. So I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is always an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who is living, and everyone who will live in the future. We have a common ancestral root. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were other cultures as well, such as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, great civilizations that were flourishing while Europe was still in a medieval or dark age. So we pour this libation to those contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, uprooted out of Africa, laying a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. They are now in North America, Central America, South America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to brothers and sisters who suffered the Holocaust of enslavement, of captivity. We do not know their names, but because of them, we are here. So we honor them and their sacrifice. We say Ashe. We pour libation to those men and women who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you'll know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a slave want to do? It wants to get free. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting on the continent, throughout the Middle Passage, and this hemisphere. We resisted. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master, and we haven't and we will never submit. So we give honor and reverence to those men and women who fought. Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Harriet Tubman, Nat Turner, and many, many others. We honor them. We respect them for always standing and fighting for the liberation of our people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history has a free and proud and productive people. We say ashe. We pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good community life because we don't have good family life. Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is bad because we lack consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It's a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, historically, and the necessity to come together to produce family, which is produces good community life. So we pour this libation to the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We say ashe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It's a beautiful day. It's hump day. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, exactly, you'll do it anyway. You'll get it done because that's the brother and sister that you is. So continue to keep rising to the top. Continue to keep getting it done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to us live, you can always go to timeforanawakening.com, scroll down, look on the right side until you see the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. Click on that, and you have access to previously recorded programs that are titled and dated, thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. And so you can check out those previous recorded programs. Here's the lineup here on Time for an Awakening Network, Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times, so you make whatever adjustments you have to make. Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's a public affairs programming out of Philadelphia. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Let's Buy Black 365. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. He had an outstanding show last night. I'm looking forward to Dr. Rogers coming on to talk about the program he had. And because I think what was interesting and what was good, it was a little panel, and he had some young brothers and sisters along with some elders. So there was an intergenerational thing going on, which I truly enjoyed. And so we'll talk with Dr. Rogers a little later about that program. On Wednesday, today, this evening, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., it is Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Thursdays, not on Time for an Awakening, unfortunately, but on the Blog Talk Radio, it is Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. The program is still happening, and I'll talk about Cafe Ulu in a minute and some other additional information about that in a minute. But if you want to listen to Us Lifting Us, you can dial 929-477-2789. That's the number to call, and their program starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Us Lifting Us with Baba Kambizi, Baba Thurman, Baba Akima, Sister Nanana, Sister Shay, and Brother DJ, and all of us brothers and sisters. Brother Madike calls in from, well, he's from Senegal, but I think he's in Europe. I think he's in Scotland. But he's a diligent board member, good brother, Brother Madike. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, oh, it's a time for an awakening, y'all. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. Eastern. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Sunday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it is not me. It is Sister POC, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. 7 p.m. on Sunday, time for an awakening again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 7 p.m. until. Our number to call is 215-490-9832. That is our calling number for all the programs I just mentioned, with the exception of course, the Ulu program, which is on Blog Talk, not on Time for an Awakening. Hope they get back. I do. 215-490-9832 is the number to call, and we can talk about what is being discussed, or there's something on your mind you want to, particularly on this program, if you want to give your African perspective on issues and concerns, yeah, you're free to do so. Other things that are happening, of course, is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack.com, and they are selling products made by us. They're selling products made by us. We Buy Black. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. Please go check them out here in Atlanta. But check them out online, because you maybe not be in Atlanta or wherever you are. You can still access them, because they have everything you need that we have can produce. I got laundry detergent and toothbrushes, toothpaste, lotions, and all kinds of good stuff for you. Let me get us lifting us. Cafe Ulu open from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Saturday and Sundays, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And of course, they're located 2036 Sylvan Road, in here in Atlanta. There's something that's happening, y'all, and that's something that's happening is coffee houses across the country, because Starbucks is closing their coffee houses on Tuesday, May 29th. We are encouraging our people to, in fact, I'll read it to you from the Black Star Project. Dear American African-owned coffee shop owner, please be aware that Tuesday, May 29th is the Black Star Project's National Eat at a Black Coffee Shop Day. After the recent Starbucks incident involving the arrest of two American African people in Philadelphia, most American African people had one or two responses, either boycott or open our own. I love opening our own. Well, the Black Star Project is leading a national boycott of more than 8,000 Starbucks coffees, and you have already opened an African American or American African owned coffee shop. We expect you, American African coffee shop owners, to benefit substantially from our actions. On Tuesday, May 29th, hundreds of thousands of Starbucks customers will be looking for a new coffee experience, because Starbucks is closing all of its stores for that one-day diversity training session. Yeah, good luck with that. So, American African coffee houses, shops, and tea houses under the umbrella of the Black Star Project have formed a federation to flex our collective and connective muscle in the competitive coffee market. They are working together to get out the word that our coffee, teas, and pastries are available on this day, and is just as good or even better. Yeah, they're even better than anything Starbucks has to offer. So we ask you to prepare an additional business on this day. Prepare for the additional business. Be prepared now, okay? Promote it for the 29th, Tuesday the 29th. Do additional advertising for this day as part of a national Eat at an African American Coffee Shop Day. Host an American African Economic Power Summit or Forum that evening for your community at the coffee shop, which is something that we should do over at Cafe Ulu. This is part of the campaign, okay, to circulate American African dollars in our community, which is designed to raise the percentage of $1.3 trillion spent in American African communities by American African consumers last year, and to recirculate those dollars back into our community. So far, more than 300 coffee houses and shops and teas around the U.S. are expected to participate. And let me see if I know that we are part of that. And there are many other coffee houses. I know my good brother, Brother Brad's coffee house was also in that mix. Brad Thurman over in Milwaukee, Coffee Makes You Black. Here are some of the coffee houses in Atlanta. Friday's Coffee, 962 Marietta, Northwest. Grant Park Coffee House, 753 Cherokee Avenue. Hammond's House Museum, 503 People Street in Southwest Atlanta. My Coffee Shop, 2464 Memorial Drive in Atlanta. Just Add Honey to Tea Company, 209 Edgewood Avenue here in Atlanta. Cafe Ulu, 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta. Grant Park Coffee House, 753 Cherokee Avenue. I think I said that before. Yeah, they're put down there twice. Okay, just as well as Just Add Honey. So it may look like we got more. But Auburn Street Crib Market, 209 Edgewood Avenue. Dream Cafe, 249 Peter Street, Northeast. Rosie's Coffee Cafe, 2330 Sylvan Road. And Jada Chai Tea Sport, 749 Moreland Avenue. And La Picta Marcia, 1984 Hosea Drive. And Drip, 928 Garrett Street B in Atlanta. And then Joe's East Atlanta Coffee Shop, 510 Flat Shoals Avenue in Atlanta. And Vegan Dreams Donuts, boy, a lot of places here. And then Sublime, which is 533 10th Street Northwest and 2566 Briarcliff Road. And Hot Good Coffee House, My Coffee House, Urban Ground. Oh, you see, man, we got a bunch of coffee houses here in Atlanta. 640 West, yep, 640 East. And I've been there. It's a nice place right there in the West End, 640 Evans Street. So if you're in the West End area, right over by Krispy Kreme, right across the street. Urban Grind House, 962 Marietta. So there's a number of coffee houses. So please, brothers and sisters, on Tuesday the 29th, make sure you, in fact, I would venture to say, just start now. Just start now. Don't wait. Just start now. Africa for the Africans, my good friend and brother Tahimbe, will be on with us on Friday. He's prepared and scheduled to take about 35, 40 of our brothers and sisters to Ghana at the end of the month. We want to talk to him about how is it going, plans made, and what you can do to be part of that process for next year. So I'm asking you to give a listen or go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see photos of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani. 2007, and you can check it out. This all has to deal with African repatriation and investment. Black Dot Bookstore, Black Dot Bookstore, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. 404-591-8107. 404-591-8107. One of the number of bookstores that we fortunately have here in Atlanta. There are some cities that don't have American African bookstores. We have Black Dot in Lithonia. We have the Medu Bookstore in Greenbrier Mall. And we have the Shrine of the Black Madonna on Abernathy. Those are the three bookstores that I know of. If you know more, please inform me. Abakasim Sumsum, Raising Up the Spirit, The Warrior Spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark, Marcus Garvey, Queen Mother Moore. Oh, so many others. The title this year, or the theme this year, is Building Columbos. Building Columbos. And if you know what a Columbo is, that is where our people fight and break free. And we go up into the hinterland, into the forest or wherever, and we stake that claim and we live and prepare to maintain our freedom. Columbos. From war camp to African sovereignty. This Saturday, May 12th, from 12:30 to 6:30, it's going to be at Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia. I hope to have somebody on Friday to talk about it. If not, I'll talk about it because I'm involved as well. And one thing I know, I can't wait to see the African World newspaper. I'll definitely be reading from that when I get back because next week I won't be here next week. We'll have pre-recorded programs next week. I'm going to get together with Brother Kwaku to schedule those particular programs that you're going to hear on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we'll be prepared to do that. And so that's the lineup, dear brothers and sisters. That's the lineup. Also, too, Dr. Rogers is still on Blog Talk. That's right. Dr. William Rogers of Black Reality Think Tank is still on Blog Talk Radio. So he's on Time for an Awakening on Tuesdays and Blog Talk on Saturdays. And the Saturday Blog Talk number is 646-668-8410, 646-668-8410, and Black Reality Think Tank from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays. 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays. So check out Dr. Rogers for on Black Reality Think Tank. It's Wednesday. So if it's Wednesday, I have a co-host on Wednesday, and that is my good friend and brother, Brother Franklin Jones. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing fantastic, my brother. Always a pleasure to be in your good grace.
Okay, I don't know about all that, but hey, I'll take it. I'll take those accolades. Yeah. Well, you know, as I said to you earlier, that Dr. Rogers did a program last night that I was very impressed with in terms of having young people talk about all the hoopla about the Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you have to say about what you've heard or your perspective on Kanye West and his remarks about our captivity being a choice? But hold on, before you say something, Brother Frank, let me just say this, because I hear it all the time, but damn it, we don't do it. We keep saying that words have meaning, words have power, and yet we continue to call our ancestors slaves. We continue to use the word black to describe us. We continue to use these things, and yet I know clearly, because of these particular words, when you say them, you automatically get an image. So when I say the word slave, you know, not for me, mind you, but if I didn't have the consciousness, then automatically I hear a word slave, it's my face. It's me. It's us. When I heard when I hear the derogatory words that we keep spewing out at each other, I put my face on it. I put our face on it. So I'm saying, you know, we really have to deal with these, because the language, number one, is not ours. And the language is designed to mess up our minds. Number one,
exactly.
It's a bastardized language. So go ahead, dear brother.
I totally agree with what you're saying about that. Language is really something. We didn't come from slaves. We were enslaved by these evil people. In regard to your question about Kanye, now, me being so pro-black and proud, I'm against anyone who speaks out against us, right? Totally. There was also a comment Kanye said. He says he don't read. He says things. That's the problem right there.
Is that right? He said he doesn't read.
He said I don't read. I think, and that's crazy. And he also said that we've been enslaved for 400 years, And I'm saying, come on now. No one is saying that we were enslaved for 400 years. That's not the right number. They say black oppression has lasted 400 years. So, but giving his total state, I think his case is connected to his a mental breakdown he's having. So because of that mental issue, I'm not as hard on Kanye as others are, because I just think the guy needs to get some help. He needs to go back and get some mental. He said he's on a medication, but he's supposed to take it every day. But he takes it actually only once a week. He talked about all that stuff that's going on. So I see the guy is having mental issues. Yeah. You know, he needs help.
Yeah. Well, I mean, based upon how he's looked, at particularly lately, and I think some can argue that the death of his mother, the untimely death of his mother, had a profound impact on him. But he's done some bizarre things prior to that. You know, I'm not sure that he has drug usage or not. I don't know. All I can say is, you know, many of the of our brothers and sisters in that entertainment realm lack consciousness, lack awareness, lack a historical perspective. You know, many are happy to be where they are. They're happy to make the millions of dollars that they have and have the influence that they have. And believe me, you know, I know and you know they shouldn't have a voice, but they're going to get a voice, especially when they talk like that, because we don't control, you know, media. Yeah. We don't control.
Whenever it's derogatory information about us, it gets so much propaganda in the media. Whenever a black person gets up and says something negative about ourselves that supports the ideology of the white establishment, they promote it. Now, let's say that was a black man. Let's say it was a black rapper on television, and he was talking about the reparations we still do, or how, you know, how we are treating our society. He wouldn't get all of the exposure that Kanye is getting. Kanye's words are being amplified because it serves the ideology of the oppressed, those who oppress us. That when we are complaining about slavery was a choice, it's diminishing our oppression, it's diminishing slavery. So his words are being used against the masses of us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had a discussion one time about choices. And I maintain, this is many years ago, and I maintain that we really don't have choices because we don't have our right mind. You may think you have a choice, you know, but really your choices are being made for you. You are being conveniently steered in a direction here or there, you know.
Yeah.
Because to me, if we really had a choice, do you think that we would have a choice to live the way we do, the majority of us? Do you think that we would be acting and behaving in the way that we do towards one another? I don't think so. But because we're not in our right minds, choices are being made. We may have the illusion that we're having a choice, but in actuality, no, we don't, not collectively. Now, one individual may say, I am headstrong, I have a choice, and I choose not to live this way. I choose not to live here. I choose not to be miseducated and so forth. So my choice is to, you know, vigorously and with all kinds of due diligence and whatever to educate myself, to inform myself, to live in a different way. That's fine. That's fine for you. And I think that's one of the things too that our people have, you know, who have accepted this system, because they're saying, hey, the system works, man. It works for me. I got mine. Well, if you didn't get yours, it's your fault. They don't understand. No, it's the system itself. The fault lies within the system. But no, but because they got theirs, they may be one of those fortunate ones who are in the top 20% of our people. That top 10% maybe who have a nice job, a career, maybe are on pension, or maybe living in a very good neighborhood, or they may even be better than that. They might be one of the entertainers and athletes and so forth who are in that other 10% who are doing exceedingly well. I don't know. But the bottom line is you are trained and taught to think individually. Don't worry about it. That's like the same thing with their theology. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored.
Yeah. You know those celebrities, when you talk about athletes, they have these agents who represent them, and they say you have to protect the brand. If you want endorsements, Pepsi, Coke, tennis shoes. If you want endorsements, you have to protect the brand. And a part of protecting that brand is you can't appear too pro-black. You can't appear too militant because you want to appease the white master. So therefore, those celebrities, those athletes, they sell out as a part of protecting the brand. The language is coded, protect the brand. And that's why we don't have so many of those athletes speaking out. That's why we have lots of the likes of Michael Jordan, who's a very successful businessman, but he never speaks out about the injustice that happens to black people. You know, the system is designed to you want more wealth? Sell out, sell out, sell out.
Yeah. Well, you know, last night, Dr. William Rogers' show, program, Black Reality Think Tank, every Tuesday here on Time for an Awakening Media from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, Dr. Rogers always brings in outstanding individuals as panels and guests on his program, always very thought-provoking, and truly involves our young people, which I really like. So last night they had a very good discussion about this issue of Kanye West. And so I'm going to bring Dr. Rogers in the program. Dr. William Rogers, how you doing, my brother?
Hi, good morning, my brothers. How both of you? How you doing, Brother Franklin?
Doing fine. And yourself, brother?
Good, good, great. I really enjoyed your dual presentation that you all do. I think that is really, really outstanding. I wanted to tell you that. I like that.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. I love being on the show.
Yeah, you all definitely accent each other. But yes, sir. How are you doing today? Everything's fine?
Everything's great, Doc. Everything is great. I enjoyed your program last night.
Thank you.
I came in a little late, so I didn't get all of the, but I did hear many of the young people. I heard the one, I like that sister, the elder sister. I like her. In fact, I like to get her on the program. I really
do. Okay, yeah, she's available. Yeah.
Yeah, because I really like her. And of course, Brother Pugh although the sister, the elder, was saying some things that the younger sister took offense to, because I think she was talking about her personally. And I kept saying in my mind, she's not talking about you personally. She's making a general observation.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. You know, but I like that dialogue. I think we need more of it, intergenerational dialogue, because number one, that gap is there intentionally. You know, that intergeneration gap is there intentionally, and of course it's been sold for many years, to the point that you young people don't want to listen to nobody. Oh, you can't tell me nothing. You know, you see them at the McDonald's restaurant in a cluster in a corner, or some restaurant or some other congregating place, and you don't pay no attention to them. And in fact, you don't care what the hell they got to say. You know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's true. That's true.
You know. So I think that what we need more is that kind of dialogue, so we can understand that, hey, we are in this together. We need each other, you know. We need each other. And in fact, what should happen is that you begin to understand us and we begin to understand you, and that we communicate together. Because number one, you're the energy for our movement. You're the ones that can, you know, should have the stamina and the energy to make it happen. You may not have the wisdom. That's us. And I hope that there's a healthy symbiotic respect towards one another, so we can we have the understanding of the history and the knowledge, and you have the understanding of what can be done and will be done because of your youth. And we need to mesh that.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, one of the things that one of the joys about teaching sometimes is every now and then you get what I call a serendipitous moment. And Kanye's statement was clearly that. There was a chance now to do some teaching. There's a chance to get people to talking. There's a chance to get folks to be mad about stuff and open. Now, I'm not sure that he did it for that reason, but very clearly, that was a wonderful opportunity to really do some serious teaching. And number one, like I said last night, I think it speaks to the classic case of what Carter Woodson talked about, the miseducation of the Negro. Mm-hmm. That's clearly a miseducation type of statement and consideration, very clearly. And it requires, obviously, our young people don't know their history. You know, now they know about Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass and, you know, Malcolm and some of those kinds of things. They know the dates and events and activities, but they don't know the theory of history.
Yes.
And Kanye's statement did not include the theory of history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you, for instance, you all know very clearly what happened in slavery. You know the depth at which the Europeans inflicted mental and physical pain upon the people that were being held in captivity. What they did to Africa was an act of war.
Oh, no doubt.
They don't know that. They don't recognize that. So that was what that was about. That was an opportunity to teach and bring folks, even if they don't agree with it.
Right.
They're going to think about that a little bit, you know, and it will require some long-term thought. And as you heard, the variations of opinions coming from the young, some
right.
were like,
right.
I didn't really like it, but however, you know, that kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I did.
And so that was the good part about that. And so what I think we got to do now is keep pushing the button.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got an opening here. We got an opening. Let's use it a little bit. Don't want to overuse it, but let's use it.
Right.
And keep pushing the button, you know, and that way you begin to do what we've been always talking about, free the African mind.
Exactly. That's what this program is dedicated to doing, to helping to free the African mind. That's why on this program, particularly on Wednesday, that's what we talk about. What is happening right. to our minds. Brother Franklin with the Black Matrix, the Black People Matrix. You can go online. And Brother Franklin, go ahead, tell them how they can access that.
Yes, it's at www.theblackpeoplematrix.com. I'll be posting videos there also. I also have a video page called Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix. You can see my videos. I put up every week, I'm putting up 5 videos. They can continue to stay abreast of what I'm talking about.
Outstanding. Go ahead, Doc Rogers.
I'm just responding to him. I have to really want to take a look at that, the Black Matrix website too. I know heard him mention it on one of the other programs yet, but I haven't looked at it yet. I'm going to do that. I really want to do that.
Please do. And share the information.
Yes. Good.
We have another caller. 602. Caller 602.
Yes, Brother Osher, good morning.
Hey, Brother Marcus.
Brother Marcus, how you doing, Brother Marcus?
I'm doing great, Dr. Rogers. You know, one thing I forgot to expound on last night, you know, our people were not stupid, you know. You see,
no.
We saw what the white man was doing to the red man, you see?
Right.
So our people say, you know what, let's take a lower position now, so that in the future we can, you know what I'm saying, we can make our move, because you see what he did to the red man. A lot of those people he killed. You see, so our people ain't stupid. And I said, look, you know what, we have a choice. You know, the choice is life. We're going to take low now so that we can live. Now, we are in the future now. So now it's our turn to pick up from where, you know what I'm saying. So our people ain't dumb now. You know, we ain't been on this planet here all this time being stupid. We know how to survive. So, you know, what Kanye say, I say something is clearly wrong with that young man. He needs some psychological help, you know. But we are here. You know, we are proof that we are here talking. So now it's just a matter of us doing, and we are getting to that point. You know, we say with programs like this and other programs like Dr. Rogers' program and Brother Franklin, we gonna get there. You know what I'm saying? Because we are here. We are, you know what I'm saying? We are not extinct, you know? So, you know, that's proof enough right there, you know? So anyway, I'll continue listening. Thank you so much for this program.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you, dear brother. Right. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I heard last night, and that some of them were trying to rationalize what Kanye West said and what he, you know, and what he ultimately meant, or not really understanding truly what, because I mean, he didn't, you know, I guess he's saying like, you know, man, it, you know, because that's why I think the brother did. He said, well, he was saying that once you're out of the physical enslavement, now you have a choice to be mentally enslaved or not, you know. And what I'm saying is, in a system, in this system of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, mm-hmm. and privilege, we have no choices. It's either you're going to play along and you'll be accepted, or you're just going to do the mundane things that you do and you just, you know, go along to get along, or you're going to continue to rebel, you know? And in that situation where most of our people are going along to get along, and then the other segment of our people, you know, we want favor. We want to be in the house, you know? We want to be at master's foot. And then, of course, there are those of us who rebel. But in terms of the rebellion, it's not to change Caucasians or change this system, because that's basically futile. But to change ourselves in such a way, like for me, I reject everything Caucasians say and do. If the crackers say the sky is blue, I say it's green. You know? I know. I think that's where you have to really.
You have to. I agree.
Yeah. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah. I agree 100%. Someone on the surface thing was, I mean, that sounds crazy, but it's absolutely true. You have to, everything a white man says to you, he's going to give you information that benefits himself, that exemplifies himself, and that denigrates you. So you have to always be a critical thinker and always question the validity of all information from white sources. So I do the same. If a white man says it's daytime, I say it's nighttime. I refuse to allow the ideologies of my oppressor to become a part of my mental state.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always about manipulation and gaining advantage. And when he is controlling information that's fed into the minds of black people, he always distorts it to serve his interests.
And see,
so yeah, protect your mind. I
right.
agree.
Oh, no, at all costs, because that is, I mean, the mental liberation for our people means that we've purged ourselves of all the ignorance, all the disinformation, and now we want to infuse ourselves with the knowledge of our history, our culture, to make us stand strong and firm, you know. And so by doing such, you know, just like I've said, you know, I know we use that that acronym, sugar, honey, iced tea. But, you know, because we don't want to cuss on the radio, although I did last week. But no, I was just reading the brother's response, Dr. George Yancey's response to his plea for Caucasians to look inside of themselves and recognize and acknowledge their racism. And a response that was, just very vitriol, very vulgar, very, I mean, there was, you know, nigger, you're just, you know. And I had to, so I read it just like he sent it, you know. But the bottom line is that I've been able to say to myself, in my heart and my mind, I reject it. Because as a Pan-Africanist, your whole objective should be the liberation and self-determination, independence, and sovereignty for African people. That's what this program is about. That's what we talk about all the time. That's what our when I listen to Time for an Awakening, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, Dr. Rogers, and the other programs that are on, that's what pretty much is the feeling that we're projecting, is a mind change, you know, is a way to deal with this. We have another caller, 447. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, Brother Ochi.
Hey, it's Brother Paul. Hey, Brother Paul.
Hey, Brother Paul, how you doing?
Yes, sir, the sun's shining. I'm doing very well, thank you, and even better to hear the program.
Also, Brother Paul, we have Dr. William Rogers, who has a program, Black Reality Think Tank, every evening. Here on Time for an Awakening. Dr. Rogers, this is Brother Paul from the UK.
Hey, hello, good brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, a think tank is right on point. It's think tank. We need as many think tanks as can solve our solution globally. So you're in the money.
That's right. That's correct. Got to, as Reverend said, we got to give it that critical thought.
For real. Well, I'd just like to make an interjection, just give you a small point of view from the UK, just around Kanye West and some of the things he spurred. I look at it and I think for myself, the conclusion I come to, I think he's been prepped. I don't think this was an off-the-cuff remark. I think, and what I mean by that is that the sort of people he's surrounded by, no doubt that's the type of conversation. The conversation being, well, you've made it. Look how successful you are. What happened to the rest of you? You know, if you can make it, you know, all this talk about history, all this talk about the My Alpha and what you've been through, what you know, why do you need to consider that? And that's what I mean by prepped. I'm sure the people in these circles consider him a success. Now, if you take it on a bit further from that, what I see happening in small circles in the UK, from my time, I grew up in the 70s to now, I see a lot of the young people, not a lot, a few of the young people developing this kind of idea that why should we listen to what African Americans have to say? And I think this has come about because a lot of the speakers, a lot of the social rights activists, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, so and so forth, came from your region. And it had a massive influence, not just in that region, on the world. But since that time, we've had a different type of consciousness coming about. A more, may I say this, although I come from the hip-hop generation, a more hip-hop influence type of consciousness. And mm-hmm. some of that consciousness has been, can I say, not conducive to progress. It's been more exhibitionist as opposed to being real consciousness.
I agree.
It's sort of taken the trend. Now, that is what they're looking at. We've seen the episode with Umar Johnson and Tariq. We've seen other episodes, which is, you know, we've got Satnetar TV. We've got Brother Seti. And that's a big influence among the younger people. They think that's what consciousness is. They think that's what consciousness represents. So when these episodes personify themselves on YouTube and social media, these are the channels they look at. There's a type of reaction to that. And it's quite disturbing in a way. Now, Kanye West personifies that. He kind of sums it up by saying that, well, what's slavery got to do with it? You know, why do we need to look at that? So for those young people who are on that bandwagon, he kind of concludes, you know, what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he's been prepped. I think this is part of a bigger agenda.
You know what?
Being that he,
you know what, Paul, you may have something there because as I look at it too, and brother brother Frank, you can chime in. But as I look at it too, I see many of our young people who don't have a consciousness. They think like Kanye West. This is America, man. That stuff is over. You know, I'm a black American. I have free will. I have my own mind. I do what I want. I got white friends. I live in the suburbs. I went to this school, that school. What y'all talking about, man? Nobody oppressing us. You know, the choices are your own. You determine your own destiny. You know, you're the captain of your own destiny, man. Get out of here with that old black stuff, you know.
I'm going to show a profound contradiction in that mindset. You know, they say we are taught, we are encouraged to just get over and put it behind us. But the Jewish Holocaust lasted less than 12 years, and they've received billions of dollars of reparation, and they're still making money, and they even received money under Obama's administration. So here it is. They're never told to get over it, and they're continuing being paid for it. Our oppression has been gone for 400 years, and we never received any reparation. We're constantly being told to just get over it. It's nothing. So you see that our people are being mentally controlled by the dominant society, you know?
Mm-hmm. And see, not only that, the money that the European Jews have been receiving is our tax dollars. We have been paying them, and you see what, and nobody has said anything about how we are being treated in Israel and what Israel has done. Nobody, you know, it's almost because I know that there's that fear of the European Jews because of their control in various industries, particularly the entertainment industry.
Jews control our media, you know, so they control the narrative. Yeah. I mean, if you do a poll of Americans and you ask, whose side are you on? Do you favor the Jews or do you favor the Palestinians? A great percentage will say they favor the Jews. Why? Because they've been socially engineered through media programming to believe they take the side of Jews. But it's only if you go through YouTube, you can see alternative news, and you can see the videos of how the Palestinians are being so brutally mistreated. It breaks your heart when you see some of what's happening to those Palestinians. They're an oppressed people, brutally oppressed.
Yeah, in fact, they're being oppressed, in their own land. You know, yeah. They've had that land for so long. And then, of course, the European Jews who migrated westward into Europe, into Austria and so forth, and then even Poland, whatever. And then, of course, World War II and the rise of Adolf Hitler. In fact, what was funny the other day, I know here in Atlanta, they're taking down a monument from the Civil War, mm-hmm. you know. And of course, the Caucasian was there with a rebel hat on, the rebel Confederate, you know, colors, gray colors, you know. It is not racist. It's just a place for us to grieve and so forth. It's not racist. It's not. And I'm thinking to myself, the impact that the European Jews have had is so deep that in Germany, you can't name your son Adolf Hitler.
No.
There are no monuments. There are no plaques. There's nothing to remind the German people of the Third Reich, of Nazism. There's none of that. You can't have it anywhere. And here is the kicker in this country, because most of these monuments were erected not right after the Civil War to commemorate the people who lost their lives trying to defend a evil system, but it was done in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, even into the 50s, because has a way to say to us, intimidation. We still run this, boy. You're not going to integrate our schools. You're not going to integrate our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. You see? So no, these things aren't things to be commemorated. They were designed to be put into our face. Has yes. a consistent reminder of the intimidation and fear and terrorism that this society has always heaped upon us. Now, I know that in the UK, you know, by the way, Brother Paul, give us a quick update, because I know we're about to go to a break in a couple of minutes. Give us a quick update on the Windrush situation. Or is there
You know, it's still gaining momentum. We know that the Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, had to resign over it. And it, since then, it's been raised a few times in the House of Parliament. So it's still on the books. The problem, I think, is that the people haven't galvanized themselves. The children who have of that generation have not galvanized themselves enough to keep that momentum going. You know, I see a pattern among us that sometimes what happens is we start something and when it's successful, we sit back and watch it as opposed to keep it going and realizing that there's no end to this. Right. There's no let up.
Right.
And I see this pattern and that's what worries me. But in terms of the political arena, it's still... People are still feeling the weight in Parliament, and it's still there. You know, to be honest with you, the Prime Minister, Theresa May, she was Home Secretary at the time of this debacle, and she's the one who ordered the papers, landing papers, and so on and so forth to be destroyed and destructed. But, you know, she's really been kept out of the full weight of her responsibility, being that she is the Prime Minister. So, you know... Really and truly, the buck should stop with her.
Exactly.
But there's a barrier being put up to protect her. And, you know, really and truly, a lot of these measures she brought in under her government. Her government is a racist government. And there's no doubt about it.
Well, that's why Thatcher was aligned with Reagan, she's aligned with Trump.
Yes.
That's how I look at
it. Exactly.
They're very right-wing.
Exactly.
right-wing conservative, the alt-right, whatever you want to call it. But we're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll hope you can stick around, Paul. We're going to get off into the newspaper of the Institute of the New World, the Organization of African Unity, out of San Antonio, Texas. This is a paper. I'll talk about it when I get back, but I really love and I love what they do. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You will be right back. Stay with us. Oh, brothers and sisters, once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Radio, Acres of Diamonds, every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after that is Let's Buy Black 365. And then Tuesday night is Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, 8 p.m. to 10. On Wednesdays, this evening, Sister POC with Revive from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then Friday, 8 p.m. Friday is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it is not me. It's Sister POC. Revive. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, once again, it's Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. The number to call here is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're going to talk about I mean, really, I talk about the African mind because that's what this program is dedicated and committed to, helping to free the African mind. So, but on Wednesdays, we have a little bit more focus. And of course, my guest host is Brother Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix. And we also have on the line with us Brother Paul from across the pond. So, and you can join us at 215-490-9832. I'm going to read an article from the ARO, the Institute of the New World, the Organization of African Unity out of San Antonio, Texas. It's a great publication. I met Baba Phil Johnson at a National Black United Front conference in Houston. And I was so impressed because they brought about 15, 20 people, a lot of young people with them, to the conference. In fact, had they not showed up, the conference would have been a bust, you know, but they showed up, they participated, and, you know, I really didn't know at the time what a great man this gentleman, Baba Phil Johnson, was. He has now been an ancestor, I think it's easily 2 years, maybe going on 3 years now, and I've been a subscriber of this paper. I always love to get it, always good information in it, you know. They talk about, in fact, on at the very back of it, they said, leaders wanted reward, freedom, justice, and power. And says, study these four great leaders for qualifications. They have Winnie Mandela, Stephen Biko, Fannie Lou Hamer, Baba Jake Carruthers, Queen Mother Moore, and of course, Baba Phil Johnson, and Ya Asantewa, and Dr. John Henry Clark. And he usually puts some other people up there, but I just like that. And, of course, they also say what they want. What does the Organization of African Unity want? We want to see divisions of African people come to an end. Number two, we want to see the American African community, we know the African community, move collectively towards development of African American owned and operated business. We want to develop a sense of African culture. We want to control the education of our children through the creation of African centered institutions that teach and train our youth and adults alike in the knowledge of self and the universe we live in. Number five, we want institutions built for the constructive educational cultural development of our community. Number six, we want to see a cadre of young men and women emerge with the purpose of protecting the legal and moral character of our community. Number seven, we want to see an African value system come about that will prepare us for a more collective and productive way of life. This value system is the Nguza Saba, the principles of Umoja, unity, Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective work responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Nia, purpose, Kumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. And there's just all kinds of good stuff in here, but usually on the front page is the narrative that Baba Phil puts out. And this one is very timely because it talks about propaganda and disinformation, the battle we must win to advance. This highly technological attack on our minds by Caucasian extremism has seriously slowed down our movement for freedom, justice, and equality of opportunity. See, that was the thing about coming to America. There was opportunity in America. And you really couldn't argue against that. But the reality is there's not equal, there's opportunity. Because in fact, if you can't get it legally, there's an illegal opportunity for you as well. But there's not equal opportunity, and it never has been, and it never will be. Propaganda, the persuasive manipulation of information to push a certain idea, has been taken to an all new high with systems, technological control of both electronic and print media. In addition, technology has ushered in a new science of mind control called disinformation. This science of disinformation allows the system to take control of information, alter it to present the system's position, and rapidly disseminate it in all over the world, thereby co-opting movements and influencing world opinion. Propaganda and misinformation are effective on our minds and spirits for a number of reasons, but largely it is effective due to years of misinformation, intimidation, and murder meted out to us by this system. It is the foundation of fear and ignorance that the success of the propaganda and disinformation is built on. When a lie is being pushed on us, our fear and ignorance of the system stops us from questioning the lie, and this allows us to be pushed into blind submission to European extremism, racism, and privilege, prescriptions, and dictates. This blind reaction to the dominant culture of Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege forces us to allow along with the system, forces us to go along with the system rather than work in unity to protect and advance ourselves. Example, our land has been stolen. Our culture has been disruptive. Our humanity has been denigrated. And a great number of our people have been mutilated, killed, all by the power of European Caucasian extremism. Yet, we are told that a unity against this force is reverse racism and anti-God and anti-Christian. And many of us accept this propaganda. The global system of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege politicized race color has an additional element in the power equation of people control. After centuries of economic benefits and the destruction of millions of African people through the use of race color card, the system wants to avoid the historical revelations of its cruel and inhumane treatment and its stifling effects on our present day situation. So instead of being open to retribution for reparations to assist in healing, the leaders of Caucasian extremism proclaim, we should not see color. We should only see people. Well, that propaganda, in view of the fact that we as African people are color, and to deny seeing our color is to deny the important part of our humanity. This is the kind of propaganda we need to be aware of. We should do it. What we should do is push for acceptance of all colors on an equal par with non-colors or whites, if we want to be correct. For centuries, the history of Africans has been reduced to a short paragraph on our captivity for African students in the early grades, and in a watered-down, lily-white, whitewashed African studies program at the university level. Yet when we begin to push for African history, it was considered as irrelevant and reverse racism by the system leaders. This is the disinformation of the worst kind. For we know that in America, Caucasian history is a requirement subject from every elementary through the university. What makes Caucasian history more important than our history is Caucasian power versus Caucasian representing the truth. They represent the truth. Our continued efforts to bring our history into all credible institutions has brought us face to face with all kinds of resistance, to include the propaganda of multiculturalism. Instead of acknowledging the brutal destruction of African institutions, enslavement and colonization of Africans, and to work for sensitive human solutions, the system chooses to cover up and avoid telling our story. As a pacifier of our hunger to hear our story, multiculturalism was instituted. Multiculturalism, the blending together of cultural information on all the ethnic groups in America and teaching an hour or so on some selective cultural attributes, is highly and hardly an authentic move to tell our story. Yet, when we protest and demand an African-centered approach, we are declared racist. By labeling us reverse racist, Caucasian extremism leadership through disinformation hopes to hide the power dynamic inherent in Caucasian extremist racism and privilege. While for us to call a Caucasian person a name like hunky may make us feel, you know, relieved and then feel a little bit uncomfortable, unlike Caucasian racism, extremism, we do not have the power to make that term hunky. We call them. We don't have no pushes. You crack with all any other word we might use. When Caucasian extremism moved against Africa, they took intelligent, God-fearing human beings and brutalized us until we either died or succumbed to the names Caucasian extremism gave us: heathen, coon, boy, Tom, uncle, nigger, Negro, and beast, just to name a few. Now that we want to tell the truth about what happened to our people in Africa, on the voyage, and in America, The system is pushing all kinds of watered-down stories, half-truths, and lies in our face. They have promoted books, periodicals, papers, films, videos, and much more in a vain attempt to co-opt our minds. Yet in every one of these stories, it is they who abuse and misuse us. When we find the courage to fight in these stories, it will be under Caucasian leadership. One Caucasian person will serve one or two African people or families, will save, excuse me, one Caucasian person will save one or two African people or families from the Caucasian massacre and come out as the hero or shero of the story. If you remember Rosewood, the movie Rosewood, the part that John Voight played, you know, and many others. We have to see these contradictions and know that the oppressor cannot be our liberator. Let me repeat that. We have to see these contradictions and know that the oppressors cannot be our liberators. We cannot be self-sufficient when we are cast in a dependent relationship. If there are so many Caucasian folks working to free African people from bondage, then how come we still are enslaved? How come we still in that servitude mode? As we advance the African-centered movement on the planet, the leaders of Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege consistently devise methods and strategies to counter, discredit, neutralize, and destroy all of our authentic claims on our freedom and independence and justice. We must be vigilant, analytical, and determined in order to move through the multi-pronged genocidal attacks of global European Caucasian extremism and racism and privilege. Most importantly, winning will require that we master getting at the truth in the propaganda and the disinformation war. We must win. That's Baba Phil Johnson, one of our great ancestors. And of course, this is the newspaper, The Arrow. And you can get this paper. You can give them a call at 210-333-0118. That's 210-333-0118. And you can subscribe to The Arrow, the newspaper of the African world. Also, too, you can email them at obu@twc.com. O-B, B as in boy, U@twc.com. Check them out. I love this paper. Reading them all the time. So what do you think, Brother Frank?
Whew, I think that was fantastic. I mean, when I hear it, you know, I really feel those big words, because to me there is nothing more important towards our gaining liberation than what you just read. Because what you just read is their core power over us. Their ability to use propaganda that enters our minds and programs us and also creates a global and national setting to serve their agendas is their greatest power against us. And the only way to overcome it is we have to understand how the propagandist works. We have to understand what's being done to us. We have to understand that there is propaganda embedded with our educational system. There's propaganda embedded in our media. There's propaganda embedded into our movies, which has been entertained. We are constantly being programmed. And the only way to liberate ourselves from the system is to educate ourselves up on how the system works. Because once you understand, for propaganda to remain effective, it relies on the ignorance of the population being targeted. Once our minds understand how the system works, we start defending ourselves against it. We start developing countermeasures. We start resisting the programming. That's their greatest power. I mean, if you look on a global scale, many African Americans have a fear and despising of Native Africans. When you find out why, it's because the image they see in Africa. They have an image of Africa as they're violent, they're primitive, they're scary. Many Africans in Africa have this a fear of African Americans because the image they have of us is because we're gangsters, we're criminals, we're violent. Now, how is it that so many millions of people have these distorted perceptions? Because our media image is controlled through white propaganda. So when Africans see African-Americans in the media, they see a distorted image created and propaganda by whites. When whites in America, when blacks in America see Africa, we're seeing their propaganda. The white man monopoly over us is the fact that he controls our image and our narratives, and this allows him to put propaganda that serves his interest. Black women, for example, black women who may think that black men ain't shit. And they believe it because the propaganda they keep getting in the media is a white distortion of the sin of black men. There are black men who believe that if I have a white woman, the white woman is inherently better because their propaganda is seen of black women. Our problem is that the white establishment controls our media image, our narrative, and this allows them to continue to propaganda to divide us. Their monopoly over our minds is their greatest weapon. And we have to understand and start studying it and teach it to our children, our people, of how the propaganda works. Because something you said earlier, that I don't listen to nothing white man says. You said, you say it's blue, I say it's green. And I laugh because that's the mindset that's necessary to overcome the white man's propaganda. This is his greatest weapon used against us, his greatest weapon. His control over the narrative. For example, he would go into America, kill the Indians, and then write the story that it was his land and he was a hero. He would enslave black people, bring us to the country, then write the narrative that he paid for us so that we were unwanted by other Africans. He propagates the narrative that serves his interest. It's his core power. And it creates self-hatred among us. You know, the ideology that blacks say, oh, we are our own worst enemy. Where did that come from?
I hate that.
Every black person who speaks negatively of his entire race, here's the reality. That statement is inherently aired because there's no black person on the planet who can justify their negative view of their entire race without using white man's data, white man's imagery, and it's from white. You know, there are billions of us on this planet, and those who have those ideologies are formed into our minds by white propaganda. And then once we're programmed to believe them, we only see those things that support the program. And then we convince ourselves that it's true. I'll give you an example. I knew this guy, he always sees reports about black women, this, black women, that. We went to a barbecue, like 50 black women there, and one black woman started going off. And he said, she's frank, that's why I can't stand a black woman. They always, I said, yo, man, there were 50 black women, then only one fit. So why you what she saw confirmed the programming? Your mind is programmed. I had another friend said there are no good black men in the world. There's a guy saying this. He said, Frank, you and I are the only good black men to take care of our kids and we love our wives. I said, that's bull crap. There are millions and billions of good black men who love their wives and love their kids. You're programmed because the white society are imposing false propaganda into your mind because oppressors maintain their dominance by keeping you oppressed up, lowly, and divided. That's how they protect their dominance. Their propaganda is their greatest power. And I think that's another reason why I get so frustrated when black people say, Willie Lynch, Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch is such a stupid, dumbed-down, ignorant ideology. I would have cried to my people when they say that. Because when you study the science of the social scientists, the social scientists who are programming our minds, they laugh at us as ignorant when we say Willie Lynch. They laugh at us as feeble-minded, childlike mindset. Because there are society, there are members of PhD who are programming our minds.
That's how they protect their dominance. They're propaganda.
I'm sorry. You got to kind of turn your program down so we can hear.
I apologize.
That was a call. We have another caller coming in.
Okay.
Yeah. So caller, please, because of the background noise, kind of mute yourself there. Okay. Go ahead, Brother Frank. Finish that thought, and I'm going to get Brother Paul
in.
I've
been running out. I'm allowed to interject. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm very passionate about the subject, you can tell. And so I'm going to now let someone else go ahead and take something.
Brother Paul, you have any comments?
You know what? There's not much I can add to what Brother Franklin says, and even to the article, because we all know propaganda, like Brother Franklin said, is their greatest weapon. All I would add is this. I read somewhere that Benjamin Netanyahu was trying to become part of the African Union. Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not. But can you imagine if the Israeli Prime Minister was to become part of the African Union? What a slap in the face that would be to those conscious ones among us. And furthermore, I'm involved in what we call the IPOB, which is the Indigenous People of Biafra, who are agitating for a separate state in Nigeria. One of the things what worries me about what they're doing is that they are appealing to Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis to come and support them. They claim that they are the Hebrews and they are Jews, some of them. And I think that the propaganda on a global basis is very successful. And it must be successful for these type of behaviors to be taking place. So, you know, that's all I have to add. But other than that, I totally, absolutely agree with Brother Franklin and the article.
Okay. We have a caller. Caller 502. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, Brother Elliot and
hey,
Brother
sister.
Franklin and everybody on the panel. This is Sister Susani.
How are you?
Representing Botswana, by calling from Kentucky.
Right. How are you today, sisters? Good that you called.
Doing well. Thank you very much. Just really finding this program so educational and informative, and most importantly, really uniting all of us across the globe. So that's one of the things I enjoy about this program is that.
Thank you,
Ashe. The emphasis on all of us really coming together to try and resolve these issues that we're facing daily.
Yes.
I had a couple of points that I wanted to. It had to do with mental health issues, but as Brother Paul was speaking about the Israeli Prime Minister apparently wanting to become part of the African Union, you know, I heard about that, I think, sometime last year. And my take on it with my, you know, is that we should take that very seriously. And I'll tell you why, Brother Elliot. Our continental brothers and sisters are so steeped in Christianity, a different form of Christianity, which I noticed the last 5 years, every time I've gone home to visit, is it's becoming, in my opinion, dangerous as far as mental health and our people really even loving themselves. And Israel is one of the places that they absolutely love because, according to them, it's the biblical place.
Right. Now,
part of this, this whole propaganda with Christianity, Israel is a part of, you know, making
right.
continental Africans just absolutely question nothing when it comes to Israel.
See,
and
now
so
you're from...
Now you're really paying attention to this. It's serious.
Right. Now, you're from South Africa, correct?
It's actually Botswana. I think when I first got on the, I said Southern Africa, and it sounded like, yes, it's actually Botswana.
Okay.
Yes, right next to South Africa. So
okay.
I just wanted to follow up on Brother Paul's point on this, that we need to pay attention to it. It's absolutely critical because that would just do more damage than anything else.
Okay.
But now, originally...
Sorry, sister.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make a small interjection. I don't mean to be rude. Listen. You know, it's just amazing that you just rang there, and I mean this. It's so amazing because I actually, when I was listening to Barbara Franklin, one of the things which struck me, and I actually forgot to mention it, was religion. It was highly in my mind to bring in, and it's just amazing that you are so far away and you just picked up on exactly what was in my brain. And this is the power of our people. We have something very dynamic, which we can't see, which we can't put our fingers on, because believe me, sister, exactly how you just picked up on the point is what was in my mind. And I actually forgot to bring in the propaganda of religion. And that's the point I wanted to make. So well done. Fantastic. Absolutely on point.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you. But the other thing I wanted to share, even though I'm based in Kentucky right now, I've been in the U.S. for a long time, I'm going to be representing Botswana shortly because I'm out of here, you know, before the end of the year.
Oh, you're
that's
going back
I'm
home?
No, I'm done. I mean, I'm done. I'm just finishing up a few things in the next no more than 3 months.
You're that soon. Oh, you're leaving.
So that's
that...
one of the reasons I'm here, because I need to make sure I've got like-minded brothers and sisters, because I'll tell you what, since, you know, the last couple of years that I've been studying and really understanding what's going on, this is not a journey that we can do on our own. if we're going to be effective helping our people as far as liberation, and our people on the continent, as much as everywhere else, needed help. You know, I mean, this propaganda machine has done total damage. And one of the things I wanted to share with you, brother, Oshie and the panel and everybody, is, do you know, soon after so-called independence of Botswana, the first hospital that was built, one of the first, if not the first, was a mental health hospital. I'm just going to pause to make sure everybody absorbed that. It's not because there were a whole lot of people who had mental, and this hospital is ran by an Italian family. Since then.
It's ran by who? I'm sorry. Who did you say? Who's the hospital ran by?
An Italian family.
Oh, okay.
And everybody.
Go ahead.
So I'm saying that because, you know, and we know that we did not have all these ailments and illnesses till these, you know, evil Europeans came and, you know, and became part of our community, because they knew they were bringing these diseases with them to eliminate us. There was no mental health back then, but they were preparing because that's how they planned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, they celebrated their 50th birthday. I mean, not birthday, so-called independence. And but this hospital has been in existence, and now it's overflowing with patients because that's how much damage they're doing to our people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the second thing I wanted to mention is, you know, I don't know if you all remember last year, here in the U.S., they approved the first, so-called first. You know, there's always stuff going on that we don't hear about, but this is one that was publicly shared with everybody, that there was a psychotropic drug that had a chip in it that was now being approved. Do you remember that, Brother Oshie?
I don't remember.
Everybody was, I'm in the healthcare field. So.
Yeah, okay.
With a chip, psychiatric medication now approved in the U.S. by the FDA, and it has a chip in it.
No, did they put that chip under your skin?
In the pill. So when the patient swallows it, supposedly they'll be able to tell if patients are compliant with their medication. Is the reason that's being public? I mean, this is public knowledge because I didn't, you know, I remember, I think I kept the clip of the newspaper that.
So the chip is in the pill. So when you take the pill, then they can examine you and they can get the information from that chip that's in your body.
They're telling everybody just so they can tell if a patient missed their medicine, because they want to make sure nobody misses these toxic drugs, right?
Right, right.
So that's the public thing, is that this is to help patients stay on their medicine.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but we know what that means, correct? I mean, you know, this is serious because the majority of people who are going to have to be diagnosed as people with, and literally having these health, mental health issues are going to be our people.
Yes.
Yes, yes. That's how I always do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, right. So I just wanted to share that because I was a little frustrated with the conversation about children, you know, because, you know, I think our youth really need a lot of help. I think anybody in the healthcare system, if you're not in mental health, we all need to get reeducated from an African perspective, you know, because I kind of feel like if our youth are in the state that they're in, and we all see it. You know, part of it is our fault as adults because we were, and I've mentioned it before, we were misinformed, miseducated as far as what was important by these devils, really.
Well, we've been trained to hate ourselves and to love and respect them. We've been trained not to believe who we are, but to believe them and what they're and what they present. See, and so I know I want to say that we should blame ourselves for this condition, but I cannot do it because I know who is the root cause of this situation, where the hidden hand is, as the Minister Farrakhan would say, how they're dealing with this. See, so no, I don't blame us.
I shouldn't say blame, but I think the responsibility needs to go beyond. I think we have a lot of emphasis on the children, But I think it really starts with us as parents who were...
Yes, it does.
...really being... We were being told to raise our children a certain way, most of us. You know, and the reason I'm bringing it up is, you know, like, this isn't a Sison brother, and I totally understand. It's really... None of this is us, because this is a system, a global system in place to really destroy all of us mentally into self-hatred and then hating everything that looks like us. But I think we can look at the children all we want. But I see it as an opportunity, for example, if people are into health and mental health work and they're African-centered, if a child is being brought in, supposedly because this is the child who has a problem, I see it as this is a family that's having these issues. So we cannot just attend to the child alone. We've got to see, you know, get to the parents through the child, in other words. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. In fact, when I talk about...
So that way we're not focusing on just the children. Because
right.
The children are a reflection of us as parents.
That's right.
But we are a reflection of the global system that's been, you know, in play and oppressing all of us. And this is maybe an opportunity to say, we don't have to really just look at history. We have to look at it. But history is in the making. We see it every day. And now we've got these kids that are a reflection of this horrible system.
Yes.
You know, I mean, these kids are selfish. You talk about it, Brother Oshie, about it, the European way of being selfish, greedy, violent. These kids are tormenting their parents. When I came to the U.S. in the, you know, and I was, you know, starting to enter in the 80s, 70s, or 80s, we knew white kids as the ones that are tormenting their parents. I mean,
right.
They would come into hospitals and clinics, and they would be in charge, just rowdy, disrespectful. We are, now our kids are this way.
Yes.
So I'm saying, since the parents are feeling the pinch now, I mean, these parents are in pain, trust me. You know, now we can say, we don't have to just say the kids are the only ones that we have to address. Now we can say, you know, find a way of educating the parents as well into why the children are the way they are.
And it's sad.
Which is the global oppressive.
Exactly.
You know, European, white, devilish, you know, whatever. That's what the problem is. And maybe we can get to the parents, not lose hope on the older people, because we're thinking the young people are the ones that can change. But most parents love their children to the extent that maybe if we gave time to say, you know, through re-education of who our enemy is and you know, this is a reality. I mean, we've got proof of it everywhere now.
Yeah. Well, that harsh reality has to be dealt with by us. We cannot go outside ourselves to deal with this. It has to be internal. We have to purge ourselves of all the ignorance, disinformation, misinformation, infuse ourselves with knowledge of ourselves and our history and our culture and the best of who we are. And more importantly, give that to our children. The education that we need to have is not just at an elementary level or just for our kids. No, it is an education that encompasses us totally. We need to educate our adults and even our elders. Because a lot of our elders, we've been indoctrinated with a belief that we are our own worst enemy, you know, and therefore we hate ourselves. We hate each other. And we look at the conditions that we're in and we blame ourselves for it, you know, and as opposed to putting the blame where it squarely belongs. And truly, just as you mentioned, sister, and just as Paul mentioned, religion. Christianity has a serious role to play, because the religion itself is not a religion of liberation. Although Professor Cohn passed a couple weeks ago, and he was the, one could argue, the father of black liberation theology. To look at the Bible, to look at Christianity, and to look at it in a way maybe like Nat Turner looked at it, you know, in his rebellion, or anybody else who is rebellious or who looks at it and puts our face into it, and to see these stories that is us, and we can liberate ourselves. I don't see it. I'm sorry. I don't see Christianity being a liberating force. I do see Christianity being manipulated and being used, just like some, just like you said, Paul, that is on the continent. Because, you know, when I visit Ghana, and when I first visited back in the 90s, and I seen these posters of Caucasian Jesus, I was appalled. And then when I visited a church and how they were having the service was truly Europeanized. It wasn't an infusement of African tradition and custom. It, you know what I'm saying? It was just as if I was in America. You know?
But may I interject something?
Sure, please. All the time.
I agree with you 100% because, you know, it's funny. When we clearly think and look at the entire thing, the European conversion of Africans into Christians had absolutely nothing to do with saving the souls of Africans so the Africans could join them in the afterlife in heaven. This is irrefutable because the Europeans believed that Africans had no souls, and they believed that heaven was for whites only. In fact, the early Europeans believed that the thought of an African going to heaven was as ridiculous as a dog doing so. This is a fact of history. The only reason the Europeans converted Africans into Christians was to indoctrinate the image of a white God into their minds. Mm-hmm. This made the Africans more docile and compliant with white dominance over their lives. That's the reason. When you look back at the facts of things, it's clear to see, but our problem is most who aren't critical thinkers. And they follow this dumbed-down ideology, and they're mentally slaves to religion. And when you present facts to people, they ignore it. And the reason why they ignore the fact is because they are programmed. Christianity gets their believers to abandon their critical thinking skills in exchange for blind faith. Now, blind faith sounds admirable on the surface, but however, it causes you, it dumbs down your intelligence so you'd accept some of the ridiculous thing as truth.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. You know.
That's the problem. And that's why right now there are black Christians listening. So I don't care what he's saying. I don't care what he's saying. But the facts are, the people actually believe that blacks had no souls and heaven was for whites only.
Exactly.
It's the fact.
Exactly. You know? And see, and then not only
so
that.
Therefore, it is only through clinging to ignorance can someone embrace being a Christian, a black person embrace being a Christian. It's only through ignorance.
Also, too,
it goes further. If you go and you educate yourself and you study about how Christianity was created, how it was created by the Romans 325 AD, and when they created the religion, there was a competing African spiritual system in North Africa, and it was growing, and the Romans hijacked that African spiritual system, and they merged it with other distinct folk laws to create Christianity. And when they created it, there were Africans who opposed it, and the Romans were killing the Africans for opposing it. One of those who opposed it was a man named Arius.
That's right, Arius.
If you Google the Arian controversy, you will find the arguments and debate, because the African spiritual system did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. The African spiritual system was a teaching of a man who was born in Ethiopia, an African who said he was not a Messiah. So when you study this only by those who want to stay ignorant, who hold on to it, is only by ignorance. The free your mind, you have to educate yourself. Most people don't want to educate themselves about the fact. They don't want to go back and see. So they're programmed. And here's how this programming benefits the white supremacy. Let's say we're sitting in a room with 100 black people, and we stand up and we decide to go out and walk out of that room to confront white racism. Before we can even reach the door, there are so many blacks in the room who are programmed to attack us. So before we can address white supremacy, we have to fight for the black human program to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
That system we're in.
Right there, that buffer. Brother Paul, you had
there's
something?
A buffer that protects white supremacy.
That's right.
And their entire ideology, from their education, their religion, they are programmed to attack those who speak against white supremacy.
Brother Paul, you had something?
Yeah. What I want to say is this. In order for us to bring about a solution, we talk about critical thinking. But I've cut from my research and my observations, I think that this critical thinking what we talk about, especially among the African mind, has to be built from a curriculum point of view. It has to be built step by step. And what I mean by that, I mean those of us who feel we are critical thinkers and feel that we understand what a critical thinker is, we have to build a program to counteract the programming of what we're talking about, because it exists. it's real. But the solution is we have to have a designated step-by-step program of how to retrain the brain in how to critically think. It's not just going to come about by us talking about the past, talking about the history. Some of us have this ability, and I think this ability is ordained. It's not just a social construct, it's ordained. But we, the ones of us who talk about this analytical thinking, this critical thinking, we have to sit down and start devising programs to teach those among us who clearly don't have the ability to critically think, to do this, have to give them this tool. Because until you can critically think, you're just going to go along to get along. And most of us are just doing that, going along to get along.
That's right.
Because we can't see the woods from the trees.
That's right. Well, you know, one of the things that I've advocated that the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC, which is a international study group, and I know that they mostly deal with ancient Kemetic history and so forth. But I said that, you know, here are the greatest thinkers of our people, those who threw off the yoke of all that ignorance and delved deep into the history of our people and listen to Dr. Sheikh Anjou Diop and Dr. Clark and Dr. Jackson and so forth and so on. These individuals should develop a curriculum that should be taught just like the European Jews. The European Jews, when even though they may send their children to a public school, but they'll say to that school, my children won't be here on this day or this week because of Yom Kippur or Hanukkah or Rosh Hashanah or whatever. But more importantly, they say, I want you to teach them math, you know, science and so forth, but I'm going to teach them what is important about their culture, about who they are. I'm going to get them into the synagogue or into the centers on a weekday or a weekend to give them this information. And that's what we need to do. We need to develop these kinds of educational institutions, not just for our children, but for us as adults. Just as our sister said, we need a comprehensive educational process that we initiate. And I know, and you know, the fear that we have of the retribution of what these Caucasians will do, and that's our damn problem. I have no fear. I don't give a damn because of what these folks have done and continue to do our people. We have to wake up and say to ourselves, hell with the cracker. Let's do this for our very future, our very survival. When you talked about, Brother Paul, about the Christianity piece and the Jews, the European Jews, contained in the Christianity piece, and I realized this way back in the early 80s, that Christianity and Judaism was tied because how convenient it is for Christianity, Islam, and Judaism to be tied to the main patriarch, Abraham. And because of that tying, particularly Christianity and Judaism, many people were looking at 1988 as a significant year because that was the year that Israel would have been a nation for 40 years. They took Palestine in 48 and then 1980. Well, it didn't happen. But this is what did happen. They still believe that you must support Israel. You must support these European Jews in taking Palestinian land. You must support these European Jews of suppressing these people. You must support these European Jews and all of the evil things that they do around this globe. You must support them. Just like what just happened with this thing about the Iranian nuclear treaty. Netanyahu sabotaged that. In the news, if you haven't checked out, there were some European Jews, Masada agents, working against this treaty when Barack was trying to put this thing together. That was just born out a few days ago. So this whole thing is the European Jews who manipulate Caucasian Christians, and all these Caucasian Christians are in cahoots with one another, for world dominance. Oh, Brother Oshie, are you crazy? No, I'm not. Look what's happening. No, I'm not. That is what's happening. And to be honest with you, that's why I maintain the position of Pan-Africanism. That's why I maintain that we will never be a people of nobility and respect and have our integrity and so forth in this country, not as a people. Some individuals might be told that, but that's only a smokescreen because they go along with the program that these crackers put out. But only until Africa is in control by Africans will we get respect in the world. And as you can see, because of the religion, that's why when you said, Paul, that they were talking about having Israel be a member of the AU, the African Union, and many African countries because of their Christian, because you're not supposed to speak against the Jews. You're not supposed to do anything contrary to the Jews. This is what God has said. This is what Jesus has said. This is crazy. We live in a world that are dominated by a mindset that is sinister and evil and is anti-spirit. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to say a comment in response to what Brother Paul said. Brother Paul, you are 150%. I agree with you 150% about we have to develop a method, a curriculum to teach. And I was going to give a response on the air just now, and I thought it best not to give the response. But I do agree with you 100%. I was going to say something, but I felt best not to say it publicly online of a system. Okay? But I had a question also for the sister from Southern Africa. Is she still online?
Oh, yeah, she's on. Sister.
Yes, okay. Yes, I am, brother.
I have a question for you, and it's this. I've spoken many places, and the Africans that I meet who are from the native from Africa, they, when I speak against Christianity, they are some of my toughest opponents. They are the most angriest. And the most violent attacks I get comes from my African brothers and sisters, my Christian African brothers who are from the continent. Now, you were talking about there's a different mindset. Could you perhaps enlighten me on why is it I meet so many Africans from the continent? And we here in America, who were the descendants of slaves, who Christianity was also forced upon us, we also have millions of Christians. But it appears that this hold that Christianity has to be stronger upon the Native Africans in the motherland. Can you please tell me why is this, in your opinion?
You know, Brother Franklin, it's Brother Franklin, right?
Yes.
You know, I wish I had the answers. I'm going to be honest with you, but I can share my observations with you, which I'm totally in agreement with what you're saying. And I think when I first got on the show, I mentioned I initially came to the U.S. in 1979, Freena High School. But anyhow, and had it not been for Brother Dr. Khalid Muhammad.
Oh, Dr. Khalid Abdul. Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Oh,
yes.
Girl.
Yes.
Go ahead, sister.
That's my ancestor that I will always be grateful towards, because I'll tell you why. And having converted to Islam at 15 in high school in Botswana. So I was raised Catholic. My mother was heavily into Christianity, and may she, her soul rest in peace, into Catholicism. I mean, we had the white pope in our home, mm-hmm. and the huge picture of the white pope and you know, knew the bishop and everybody. So you're right, your observation is right, and that they will go they will defend Christianity probably more than I have experienced in the U.S.
Yes.
And the third part of it is, I think, when they took our people and stole them and kidnapped them from the continent and took them away, I believe it was, 100 years later that colonialism really took effect, I believe. You know, as then corrected me. I think what they did then was, on the continent, they decided to really work harder at the mind. You know, the people, our people who were taken away, it was physical as well as mental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then of course there was probably physical on the continent, but I think the mental destruction of Africans on the continent using Christianity especially,
yes.
has just been horrible. Brother Oshie, you've shared about, I think there's some statistics about the top 10 pastors who make the most money around the world, I believe.
Yes, I did.
Three of them
Yeah.
Yes, three of them are in Nigeria.
Yes.
You will never believe what. There's a pastor in Nigeria that, and this is when I noticed changes amongst my family members in the Burma. And it's so destructive because if you don't believe that they actually decide you're a devil, they're not going to associate with you. You know, and it doesn't matter. It could be their own children. It could be a family member. This is how destructive this form of Christianity now that's being spearheaded by some of the Africans on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
These people charter planes from Southern Africa to go and see this man in Nigeria and pay tons of money.
Wow.
Towards him because he's also claiming to be some type of a healer.
Right.
Of all kinds of ailments and diseases. But I think part of it is the educational system, because the first thing they did, even the Catholics, was open up schools. And that's why I keep feeling, you know, maybe we need to really work hard at opening up schools, even on the continent. Those who are seeing the lines and understand, that's one of the reasons I'm going back. As tough as I think it's going to be, somebody's going to have to do it. When we are living up here in the U.S., where I think the best thing about it is that you get to deal with the white men one on, you know, I mean, we see them. We see how evil they are.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I think once we get enlightened enough, we are obligated to go back to the, I mean, in addition to all of us should be trying to get back to kill our continent. But I think it's urgent that we go back and start off with the educational system, because our people have been destroyed mentally, using Christianity especially. And I'm not saying Islam is any
right.
any better.
I agree.
You know,
I
necessarily.
Agree.
In fact, I've even, you know, they had discussions and said, you know, I'm even questioning the people of the book issue. Because for a long time, it was like, okay, Christians, Jews, and Muslims were people of the book, so everybody, you know. But the thing is, that was not for our people. Those were things that were destroying, in addition to just enslaving our people even now. I mean, Libya and different parts of Africa, Mauritania. Africans are continuing to be enslaved.
Yes, yes.
All throughout
the continent. It's sad.
And I think this is why, you know, I think it's all urgent, in addition to just, this is the liberation of the African mind is absolutely crucial. And
exactly.
The Africans on the continent is doing a whole different way of destroying their minds. Right.
I thank you for your comments. I really do, because when I see propaganda of the African, I don't believe it because the white man controls it. But hearing it from a sister, an African sister, I appreciate what you shared with me.
I share.
Thank you.
I mean,
and Brother Paul, it's something I want to say really quick. I know we're running out of time. I'm sorry. You said that it isn't just analytical. It's also spiritual. Even though I don't speak on the spiritual on the show quite a bit, I totally agree with the spiritual. I believe in my ancestors. I obey my ancestors, and I believe I'm fueled by my ancestors, okay? So I wanted to emphasize that because you said it, and I know I never talk much about the spiritual side. There is a spiritual side to this also, and I want you to know I support and I endorse that comment you made.
Yes, Brother Franklin, it's absolutely real. I know time's running up, but I want to make this point, and it's hopefully it's not too far off. There's a church at the end of my road. It's a Catholic church. For years and years and years, not even white people go to this church. It's absolutely empty. You could drive past it on a Sunday, absolutely empty. Around 1995, they brought in a lot of Africans from Europe, not actually from Africa. They opened up the doors and a lot of the Europeans came in. A lot of Africans came in. That church now is 90% Africans go to that church. You can't even drive your car past there on a Sunday. And if I do, it's such a bad feeling. They absolutely are indoctrinated in that church. And it's just a fucking thing to see. But this is the reality. So I hear the sister. And, you know, wherever you go, sister, on this planet, when you go back to your home, please keep in touch. Keep
please
your
voice
going. You know,
Definitely. I will definitely. This has really been a great opportunity for me to be able to, like I said, this is something we all need each other to be able to work towards the liberation of our people, starting with that mind.
I share.
Also try and encourage others to get involved. Brother Ochi's opened the door. Brother Franklin's part of it. And Brother Franklin, you have the solution. If I had a choice, I would put you head of the counterattack for the propaganda because I've seen what you do and you have
right
the
solution. Well, listen, brothers and sisters.
OG, what you do is fantastic.
Thank
Brilliant.
You. Listen, we have to go another program. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to freeing the African mind, not just the MIND, but also the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that the world wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful day. You've been listening to African Perspectives. See you on Friday. Peace, family.